Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw, Burlington Business Park, Tullamore. Supplier of New Holland tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
Now, good evening and welcome to Country Life here on Midlands 103. It's MJ Cleary with you for the next hour, bringing you the latest from the Midlands and further afield from the worlds of agriculture, food and agribusiness. Now, 14th of December, so a week left to the shortest day of the year, and weather has been cold since I was speaking to you last week. The fact that it's dry is something to be thankful for, but very cold and more of the same, with an orange weather warning for tonight and into tomorrow. So it is very, very, very cold and hazardous driving conditions throughout the Midlands. So to be very careful to all if you have to make a journey. It is looking like it's going to lift at the weekend. Temperatures back up to 7, 8, 9 degrees from Saturday on. So some respite is coming. Now on to this evening's programme, and plenty to get through as usual. Christmas is just around the corner, and with supermarkets expecting their biggest week of the year, try and think about shopping locally and supporting local producers. It's something we mention on the programme here regularly, but local markets are a great way of supporting primary producers. Tullamore Food Fair is the market here in Tullamore, and you can purchase everything for the festive season at the market. Ray Dunn from local business Quarry Mount Free Range Meats will join me in a moment to give details of opening times and what's on offer in the market. Inflation is the big topic of the moment, and some sectors have fared better than others this year, with dairy head and shoulders above the rest. It's no surprise, with milk prices up 44% on 2021. But will it be more of the same for 2023? Emma Dillon, economist from Chagas, joins me to give her viewpoint. Will fertiliser be at the same level as this year? What about the global appetite for dairy products? And where is crude oil going? All of this and more with Emma a little later. Vet medicines and where you will be buying your dosing next year is something that we cover regularly here on the programme. It's back and forward with it a lot of the time, and whether we need a prescription from our vet to buy from our merchant, or whether a qualified person in the merchant will be able to sell, is another aspect to it. And as I said, it's going from one area to another, and it's all a little bit confusing. So we have an update on the area from Ray Doyle from ICOS. He's going to join us to shed some light on the subject and see exactly what's going to be happening with this come 2023. TB testing, the bane of every farmer's life, is in the news this week, and there are changes to animals over 36 months in the pipeline. Hugh Farrell from the ICSA will join me. Hugh's in Portlaoise this evening at the ICSA presidential vote, with Sean McNamara from Westmead taking on current President Dermot Kelleher. Now, as always, text the show with comments, thoughts or questions to 083 3010 103. And to start this evening's programme, I have Joe Coogan, auctioneer from Castlecomer, County Kilkenny. Joe, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Yeah, good evening to you. It's cold over there. It is here. It's very, very cold this evening, all over the south of the country, I think.
We're cold across the whole country, I think, Joe. And we are going to talk about a land leasing price in Abbey Leaks in a moment. But first, listeners may have seen Ear to the Ground a few weeks back. There was a great price paid for a farm in Kilkenny. Joe, will you start with that, please, and tell us what exactly occurred?
Yeah, that was a farm on lease for the last number of years. Mars Farm is well known in Thomas Island, County Kilkenny, 235-acre residential holding. Now, there was 30 acres planted and 20 acres, so it would be a little heavy, but it was 180 acres of very, very good land. And Helen Carroll contacted me from Ear to the Ground, and they wanted to fill in the farm that had come to the end of its time, and people passed away, and this is an ideal one. And yeah, and we put it on the market. It was sold under the hammer at 3.1 million to a well-known dairy family farming in Dunamagan in County Kilkenny, and the underbidders were also very much involved in the dairy sector. So, yeah, a bit of a risk to take to go on television to an auction like that, but it worked, and it sold. We put it on the market that day at 2.6 million after a lot of bidding, and eventually it went another 500,000 and the hammer dropped. So yeah, it was a successful sale. Yeah,
strong appetite, no question about it, Joe. And that moves on to the leasing of land in Abbey Leaks, and it was a 50-acre block which went for a great price. Can you expand on that for us, please?
Yeah, 50 acres property just a mile from traffic lights in Abbey Leaks, out there, Carlow Road. 50 acres of top quality agricultural land. It ticked all the boxes: paddock fence, water supply, well farmed by the owner all over his lifetime, a lovely roadway through it. And, you know, before the auction started, and of course I'll mention now some prominent, very prominent dairy farmers from Leash were here, and literally an auction that took less than 2 minutes to conduct. It opened at 300 and moved up very quickly, and we went in the market at around 4, north of 4, and the Harman came down at 570. That's the dearest price I have ever achieved for land, and auctioneering 32 years at this stage. And certainly, yeah, it was a very good price, but I suppose, and, you know, last week we got 510 here in North Kilkenny, and another one next Friday of land, again, in County Kilkenny, that probably will make up around the five. But I think a lot of this has been driven, in my opinion, by the price of milk, you know, which is making, I think, up around 70 cents a litre at the moment. It's gone up, what you said during your opening introduction, 44% from what it was. And am I surprised the land making what it's making? Not really, because milk was making 22 cents a litre for a long time when ground was making 300 or 330 an acre. So if it was to move a car with the price of milk, it'd be going up near six. So am I surprised that's making that much money? No, but it is a good price. Yeah. And I suppose it's encouraging for someone that's not in dairying, that's considering moving on to something else in their life and to lease their farm. It's very encouraging to be receiving that type of money. All this land now is being carried out on a long-term leasing. I remember there was a lady called Shirley Bustique, who used to write for the Farmers Journal about 18 years ago. Shirley and I did a survey, and there was 95% of land con acre mean year to year that time, and 5% long-term leasing. And I was whipped around the opposite way around, where there's probably 98% long-term leasing, and maybe 2 or 3% con acre year to year. And that's the way it is. It's the tax incentive, where 5 years is 18,000 exempt from tax, and if you go to 15-year leases, 40,000 money exempt from tax. So it's very encouraging for people to lease long term. And if I have your permission, in Raheen Howan House, Strabbley, we have 175 acres coming up there in January. I walked that farm at a weekend. It's 5 miles from Strabbley, not too far from Joseph's Graveyard. People like know that road outside Strabbley and the Carter Road, and that land is coming up for leasing at the end of January. And there's another good sized farm, a man contacted me the far side of Portlaoise, that may be coming up in the new year too, and that's a good block of 130 acres. So there's plenty of land coming up in County Leash, which is an adjoining, like County Leash, where I'm living in Castlecorm, or drive 4 miles into County Leash. So across that county, I'd expect maybe to have hopefully 300 or 400 acres coming up end of January, beginning of February, and naturally then people are going to be looking for the same as everybody else, around 500 an acre plus. So I think it's going to happen.
Yes, and Joe, at that kind of money being the average now, 500 plus, and on, you know, on a 10-year lease, then land bringing in 5,000 over 10 years, it kind of would seem to be nonsensical to sell land then for 10 or 12 or 13,000 an acre if you can get 5 over 10 years. Is this leasing, the way it's going, is it going to put a stop to land sales, do you think?
That's a very valid point you've made, and that's true. It has, and that was sort of, that came into practice even 5 or 7 years ago, where less land was selling and more land was being long-term leased. And even if somebody was lucky enough to have the resource in the morning, I personally feel the most practical investment for a business person would be to buy land and lease it out. But to coincide with what you're saying, yeah, there's less land. Like, really, it's only 1% of land per annum sells in Ireland anyway. Mm. But, yeah, there has to be genuine reason for selling, because from a financial point of view, it would be more sensible to maintain, keep that land.
Yeah, 100%.
It is happening. Yeah.
Joe, we'll say many thanks for joining me. Great rundown there. And as you said, lots of land coming up in County Leash as well. So, no doubt, a busy 2023 for you. Many thanks, Joe.
And Happy New Year and Happy Christmas to all the listeners. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Joe Coogan there, auctioneer from Castlecomer, County Kilkenny, and €570 the land in Abbey Leaks made. What a price for land leasing. If you'd said that 2 or 2.5 or 3 years ago, people would have thought you were mad, but shows how times change. Now we're moving on to shopping local for Christmas and what you can get in the local market here in Tullamore, Tullamore Food Fair. And we have Ray Dunn on the line. Ray, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No problem, Andrew.
So Ray, you're heavily involved with the local food market, Tullamore Food Fair. You're expecting a big week from this weekend on. But before we speak about the times of the market and logistics and how people can get in and get out and when you're running, let's chat about shopping preferences for a moment. I know during COVID there was a pushback to shopping locally, but this is your business, what you're at every week. Are people in general making the effort to shop locally and try and source from primary producers?
Yeah, there's definitely been more of a move towards local. COVID was particularly good for our market in Tullamore, the Tullamore Food Fair, because we, as sellers of essential food, managed to stay open while many other businesses closed. And a lot of people who maybe wouldn't have had time to come to the market on Saturday morning because bringing their kids to soccer, football or GA training or whatever may not have had time to come, but they had a lot more time in their hands. And food became a big focus for people because people were eating a lot more at home. They weren't eating out in restaurants, and households were much bigger with kids home from college and all the rest. So we managed to pick up a lot of new customers during that period of time, and thankfully we've hung on to many of them, if not all of them.
Yeah, absolutely, which is great. And the feedback then you get from people once they go down or maybe bring their children down, shop locally from the market, chat to yourself who's farming and then selling your meat direct, chat to the other people who are doing the same things. Do you think they get a better understanding of just where it's coming from, of the whole food cycle and food chain, and get a better appreciation of it?
Yeah, I think people have, you know, like to be able to talk to the producer, know how it's produced, maybe get, you know, some tips as to, what to do with the product and different ways of cooking it and so on. Supermarkets obviously are, you know, the choice of the majority of people in Ireland. 80% of all food is sold in supermarkets. But nonetheless, supermarkets are quite impersonal and you don't get that personal touch. And people who like a slower pace of shopping and like to, you know, maybe have a morning out while they're shopping, like to come to the market, they can sit down, have a cup of coffee, get something hot to eat, get a burger or breakfast when they're there. And, it's become a social event for people as well. They sit, and many people would spend 3 or 4 hours there shopping and then maybe sit down and talk to their friends and so on.
Yeah, well, as you say, the social aspect of it is hugely important also. Now, you're expecting a big week. It's going to be the biggest week for consumers of the year. So when are you running, and just exactly what can people get if they go to Tullamore Food Fair for their Christmas shopping?
Well, this Saturday coming, Saturday, December 18th, is our second last market before Christmas. It's probably your last chance if you want to order a free-range bronze turkey for myself or two other farmers as well selling turkeys with Lochbura Organic Farm, and we've Mark Little selling turkeys as well. And I think there's still a few turkeys left from all of us, and they can be booked this weekend. Pigs on the Green, my brother Fergus Dunn, he's still taking orders for his Christmas hams. And Mark Little, who's also selling turkeys, also has the yard rented outside the market, and he has a big range of Christmas trees, Christmas wreaths, and he's got some great holly with loads of berries, I see on it as well. So that's all there. And we have our Christmas craft market as well, where some of the local craft producers are there. People like Heartworks and Milby Studio are there, along with, I think, 10 or 12 other craft stalls. So you can buy your last Christmas presents this weekend from a local craft person as well. And then next, our normal Saturday market next week is actually changing to Friday. We're running Friday the 23rd instead of Saturday. So on Friday the 23rd, we have our normal market, 9:30 to 2 as well. And it will have all of the food producers at that. And that's really where people are going to do their big food shopping for the Christmas. And we can run through maybe some of the things that are available for Christmas throughout today. If you're, starting off on your breakfast, Pigs on the Green, they'll be selling their rashers and sausages. You'll also be able to buy free-range eggs and organic eggs from three different stands there. If you're somebody who's more into a continental breakfast, you could get some fresh ground coffee from the Coffee Hut. And then our local bakery, Muller and O'Connell from Abbey Leakes, they'll have a great range of fresh baguettes and croissants, sourdough breads, and all a great range of breads. So that's your breakfast covered. Moving on to dinner, I suppose you probably have already ordered your turkey and ham, so you'll be into pick up that on the morning itself. I've noticed, I suppose, there's a little bit of move away from turkey this year. I've had more inquiries on beef. There's people looking to get ribs of beef or a fillet of beef or a beef Wellington. So I'll have all the beef cuts there. We have two vegetable stalls. We've got Bura Organic Veg, and we have Ollie Clavin from Alcaroda and Douro. If you like your Brussels sprouts on the stalk, Ollie's the man to talk to there. And you'll get all your carrots and parsnips and everything else for your vegetables there, and your potatoes, obviously, as well. Your starters are, I suppose, are covered as well. If you're doing a seafood starter, we've Starcrest Seafood from Donegal come to the market every week. So if you're looking at a smoked salmon or something like that, he'd be the person to talk to. If you're doing a pasta dish, Fantastic is a great selection of Italian pastas, fresh and ready to serve. And then, I suppose, moving on to desserts, Saline's Home Baking has a great range of Christmas puddings, and you'll have your Christmas cake with her as well. Or you could get a cheese board there also, selling things like Mossfield locally produced organic cheese and a great range of other cheeses. And you could accompany that with maybe some olives and hummus from Park Boy Farm. So really, there's nothing that you wouldn't be having in fresh food on a Christmas day that you couldn't buy at Tullamore Food Fair. So I suppose we're really trying to encourage your listeners to think local this Christmas. And if they can have an hour or two to spend on the Friday, come up and, try and get at least some of your Christmas produce from the market.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Ray, you've made me very hungry now running through that entire range of food, I have to say. Thankfully, I had a dinner before I came down. If I didn't, I'd be in trouble. But just what an array, as you say, of fresh food that you just won't get in a supermarket.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, we only
it.
Have 13 or 14 stands, which some people might not think is a very big market. But as I go through them, there's five or six stands I haven't mentioned. So, you know, and we have all of the sort of main food ingredients there and a little bit more. So we'd hope that people would come down and, all things being equal, local is better. It'll last longer. It'll be fresher. Your veg will last a lot longer from the market than it will from a tray pack in the supermarket, and you'll get into the new year with it as well.
Fantastic stuff. Well, Ray, we are sure that you're going to have a couple of very busy days down there in the run-up to Christmas, and many thanks for joining us here on the programme this evening.
Thank you, MJ. Bye-bye.
Ray Dunn there from Quarrymount Free Range Meats. And what an array of food when Ray was running through it all, like absolutely everything. And I can guarantee you the food you're going to buy in the supermarket on that Friday isn't going to be comparable from a freshness perspective. It's going to be in a supermarket packing tray or in a cold room for the previous few days beforehand, I'd say, with logistics and organisation of getting food to supermarkets. Everything at the market is going to be there fresh on that morning. So try your best to shop local this Christmas, and maybe not buy everything, but to buy something local, and you're supporting primary producers and agriculture on the ground. Now, I had said to you before the break we're going to be talking about vet medicines, but we're moving that to a little bit later in the programme, and I have Emma Dillon from Chagas on the line, and we are going to be talking about figures for 2022 and 2023 and just what we can expect from an economic perspective in relation to next year. Emma, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
You're welcome, MJ. Good to be here.
So if we're talking about the economic outlook for 2023, as I just said, the big one is going to be likes of fertiliser, likes of oil, all of those ones that have been driving inflation for 2022. But let's focus on the present for the moment. And 2022, look, the big good news story in 2022 was dairy farming. And a figure I came across in one of your reports is that milk prices rose 44%. Year on year in 2022. And when you see that figure, that 44%, it's eye-watering. It's staggering, really, when you see it written in front of you.
It really is, MJ. And I think, I suppose, it isn't overly unexpected at the same time. Although milk production remained relatively flat in 2022, the milk price, as you say, has been very good. So about 58 cents on average in terms of the Irish farm gate milk price. And I suppose really the situation for Irish dairy farmers is very much driven by what happens in terms of the supply and demand dynamic. And the dairy commodity markets have performed very, very well in 2022 and really since the middle of 2021. And that has really pushed up the Irish farm gate milk price. That's very much driven by the Irish exposure and disproportionate exposure, I suppose, to the butter and skim milk powder markets. And with the prices very elevated on those, butter up 60%, for example, year on year from an already good price in 2021. that really pushed up the Irish price. And I suppose you can compare it to the EU average and say the French price, for example. Ireland received one of the highest prices in the EU, and that was really because of the product mix that we're producing. French farmers aren't very happy. They're more reliant on the domestic market and also the cheese market and the processed cheese market. And I suppose with consumers not having as much money to spend, that has been an issue. But in terms of the commodity price situation, there's been such very sharp rises there that has really benefited Irish farmers. And also the dollar strengthening in 2022 was good for exporters trading in dollars, and a lot of the global dairy market is traded in dollars.
And Emma, as you were alluding to there, French dairy farmers not as happy as Irish dairy farmers. And I suppose this is the big thing for Irish dairying and Irish selling abroad in general. Look, we're a small, relatively small country, 5 million people. We're producing enough food for 10 times that. So we're on the world stage. And when things are good, they are very good, if you will, given our market appeal. However, when it goes the other way, and if the world takes a bit of a dip or a bit of a nosedive, we are exposed. Fair to say?
That's very true. And I mean, the export orientation of the Irish dairy farm system is reflected in that. And in 2016, as many of the listeners will remember, we were exposed when the commodity prices were low. And that is the issue, I suppose. And it underlines the importance of building resilience into our farm systems to deal with that price volatility, which is becoming an increasing factor in recent years. And I suppose looking towards 2023, then we would see some potential decline in the average milk price. And we're saying maybe about 15%. And that's very much driven by macro developments and the global economic situation. And I suppose all eyes are on China because there's uncertainty there about economic growth. And China accounts for about 20% of dairy imports globally. And if demand is dampening there, that is an issue because China has added buoyancy to the powder markets over the last year and a half. And we're seeing a decline in powder imports in China and from the EU to China, particularly in the last quarter of 2022, and also they're buying up stock. So really, we're very much at the mercy of the global situation. And I suppose another factor this year has been the invasion of Russia into the Ukraine and the fact that there are a limited supply of dairy substitutes, so oil, for example. And that is another reason why the butter price has increased so much. So all of those things have come together to make 2022 a very good output price year for Irish dairy farmers. But at the same time, we cannot ignore the inflationary cost environment that they're operating in. I guess dairy farmers have a little bit more of a buffer in terms of withstanding those input price increases that other sectors do not.
And that decline in demand in China, Emma, that you mentioned, you said, look, they are buying up stock. So obviously that's going to be one of the reasons. But is there a broader picture for their decline in demand? Is it a change in consumer habits or what is it?
Well, I think the real concern is about the inflation that is, I suppose, embedded, if you like, across a lot of the economies of the world. And so the growth forecasts don't look particularly good for the EU, the UK, US are treading water. There are some green shoots in Asia, but I suppose there has been some concern in China about the zero COVID policy. And I guess closer to home in terms of Europe, the real value of wages, the cost of living pressures that people are under. So maybe consumers being a little bit more careful about what they're spending their money on.
And we're talking then about 2023, Emma, and farmers obviously concerned about what's coming down the track in relation to fertiliser prices, oil prices, everything having a knock-on effect on each other. Starting with fertiliser, and it's going to be very interesting now if you can give me a price for fertiliser for next spring. That's what we want. However, Emma, what is the broad picture on this? What can we expect in your professional opinion?
Yeah, I can't do that, I'm afraid, MJ. I'd be making a lot of money if I could. I think it has been a really difficult task for us to look at and to forecast for input prices for next year. And I suppose we're being conservative enough in that we expect that they're going to remain elevated and we're not factoring in any further increase in terms of fertiliser. I suppose there have been some signals that the oil price and the gas market, you know, it's dampened down a little bit in the last few months. But as you're aware, the uncertainty and the volatility in the world that we live in at the moment makes it very difficult. But I think we can be safe in saying that those inflationary cost items, they're going to remain high. Often inflation can get embedded in economies, and you know it can take a long time for these input prices to come down. So we would expect that inflationary cost environment to continue on into 2023. Maybe some improvement in the second half of the year, but for the moment, it looks like some of these high prices are here to stay.
Well, people will often say to you, Emma, that once a price goes up, it never comes back down. Now, I often counter that argument with oil, because you have seen high heating prices and high diesel prices in the last few years, and they have come back down. But from a product perspective, when it comes to, say, the likes of building materials or something along those lines, it is more challenging to see them coming back. I suppose raw lumber or timber is maybe different. It's a raw material. But when it comes into products that are processed, hard to see them coming back, really. And that is what people are afraid of. Are these really uber high prices going to stay?
Absolutely. And, you know, inflation experts will say that sometimes, you know, it can take years to get some of these things out of the system. And I suppose, you know, that fact can't be ignored, that there was a large increase in terms of the cent per litre in terms of input costs in 2022. The average cost was 34.9 cents per litre, we estimate, in 2022. That's up about 8 cents. And you know, that's driven by the increase there in the pasture and forage, which is due to the increase in fertiliser price and also the increase in terms of contracting charges. So all of these things are pushing up the average cost for the Irish dairy farmer. But we can't escape the fact that the net margin increased about 70% to about 24 cents per litre, we're estimating, for 2022. Now, the situation in 2023 won't look as positive with the reduction in the milk price and the cost still staying high. But I suppose what we will say is that the net margin will come back down to more normal levels. And I guess Irish dairy farmers have done well since quota. Well, I suppose difficulties in 2016. But certainly in the last 3 years, there has been good improvements in terms of family farm income. Now, that is the return to capital, labour and investment and the wage for family farm labour. So there are a lot of things that need to be factored into that. And I suppose we're talking here about the average farm. So in 2022... the average farm in the National Farm Survey, which is representative of Irish dairy farms, was about £90. And so in 2022, we saw very flat milk production, slight increase of less than 1% overall nationally. And so in terms of our estimates, we're talking about the average farm was £90 and no increase in production. So there are farms that are operating, you know, away from that average. And when we get the National Farm Survey data in the middle of next year, we will be able to look at those farms and break them out into top, middle and bottom performing farms, because there are issues on farms around labour and other pressures that maybe sometimes are lost in these figures.
And Emma, before I let you go, dairy heavy content in relation to income, you know, given the good news story of dairy in this year, but for the lesser well-off colleagues of the dairy farmer, the sheep and the beef farmer and tillage farmer doing a little bit better. What does 2023 look like? Is it more of the same?
Well, I suppose the difficulty there is that the cost prices, the input price costs are going to remain very elevated. And that's going to be a challenge on those fire farms, particularly on the dry stock, where they don't have the buffer that the dairy farmers do in terms of output price. So some positivity, I suppose, in terms of the cattle price has improved. And the outlook for 2023 will be better. And also there are supports there in terms of the fodder support scheme. And on the sheep side, the sheep welfare scheme that helps, you know, maintain income levels. Sheep have had a good few years, but also the higher costs in 2022 have created problems. So really it will depend on the cost situation and the kind of decisions that those farmers make in terms of input fertilizer use, for example. Tillage, all very much dependent, and I suppose 2022, we saw an increase in their family farm income due to increased yields and the good prices globally, and only an issue really there in terms of winter barley. So the average tillage farmer in 2022 saw their income coming in about 64,000. So I think 2023, we would expect that the output prices will come down, but the input prices are going to probably remain elevated, and that will cause problems on some farms. And I guess, you know, how they control their inputs is going to be a major issue going forward. And that is an issue around building resilience into our farm systems year on year when we're dealing with this kind of volatility.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to say many thanks for joining me this evening and give us a great rundown there on 2022 and what we can expect for 2023. Many thanks, Emma.
Thanks, MJ.
Emma Dillon there, economist from Chagas. And it looks to be more of the same really coming into 2023. Not going to be much of a change, I don't think, input wise. Diesel, agri-diesel is down about between 20 and 30% over the course of the last few weeks. So that is a positive sign. And it seems to be, look, more to say, a massive gulf there between dairying and the rest of the sectors. And it will be interesting to see how the start of 2023 plays out. Obviously, people hoping fertiliser is going to come down, but it's not going to hold my breath on it just yet. We will have to wait and see. Now, I had said we were going to be speaking about vet medicines legislation this evening and just where you're going to be buying your dosing come 2023. Just having a technical difficulty, I should say, with Ray Doyle from ICOS. So in advance of that, or if I can't get Ray, I should say, we will try that next week. Look, those changes are still pretty much where they're at. And what ICOS are trying to do at the moment is they are trying to allow remote prescriptions from your vet that will go across to your merchant, that will allow you to buy your dosing from your merchant and still leaving that whole area of the market open. That's what they're looking for at the moment. But again, it is up in the air. Just a few news stories for you. Tomorrow's Farmers Journal leads with nitrate rules to force farmers to hunt for extra 70,000 acres or a 52,000 cow cull. So obviously, a big headline there. There is a change to the nitrates regulations for 2023. At the moment, it looks like it's coming in anyway in, what are we talking about, 17 days' time. And it's going to lead to a lesser stocking rate. So basically, if you're in the derogation, you're going to have more land or you're going to have to cull some cows. And that is going to force land prices up. Well, according to Joe Coogan at the start of the programme, 570 for that land in Abbey Leaks. If it goes up much more, it's going to be unattainable for most. Another story in tomorrow's Farmers Journal, and that is that the minister is tight-lipped on finding money for Acres farmers. So a huge volume of people applied for Acres. Over 46,000 farmers went for the scheme. They'd initially thought it was going to be about 30. And it just shows you that this year, the lowlier stocked farmers and the beef and sheep farmers are just looking to try and get money from whatever area they can get it from, given the way inflation has gone. And the minister is not saying anything about whether everybody will get into this scheme or not. Now, if people don't get into this scheme, that could potentially mean people out of an agri-environment scheme for two consecutive years. So pressure is on, and the minister needs to deliver there, really, for low-income farmers. Also, TAM's solar panel size limit to triple, while farm dwellings can now also be included. So that was news last week. There is a 90,000 limit now on solar in 2023 and your farm dwelling. So your dwelling house can also be included. The electricity from that can be included under the TAMS. What can't be included under TAMS at the moment is if you sell power back to the grid. That can't be included. But hoping that that will be changed in the next few years. Going to be a big push on solar now, especially next year, given that TAMS grant. And also, the EU is backing away from a total ban on pesticide sprays. Before I go to a break, because I have Hugh Farrell from the ICSA, he's going to join me in a couple of moments just to talk about changes on the TB rules about animals over 36 months old. Obviously, we have Christmas coming up. So the question is always, what do you buy the farmer in your life? So I saw an interesting article online the other day, which I said I'd share with you. And I had some gifts that you could buy for the farmer in your life. Practical gifts. Nothing as bad as spending money or giving someone something that they don't need. Money's too hard earned for that, and nobody wins. So I saw a couple of good ones that I thought were ingenious. One I've mentioned here in the programme before, and that is the Davy light, the light on your forehead that you can stick on. Has a couple of little batteries on it. These are a lifesaver. I started using one of these this year for the first time, and they are absolutely fantastic. Leaves both your hands free. You can see what you're doing, and a really, really good little gift and little product that could easily avoid a farm accident also. Another present which is excellent for farmers are gloves, proper gloves, waterproof gloves with maybe some sort of fur lining that stops your hands getting cold. We all know about that during these times. Another one is a good penknife. And when we talk about a good penknife, we talk about a penknife that the main thing has a little safety on it, that when you're working it or trying to open a bale of silage or whatever the case may be, that it can't close on your hand. So that's the most important one. And that it can be sharpened. Nothing as bad as a blunt knife. Another good gift, proper boots, maybe fur-lined Wellingtons or proper fur-lined hard toed boots from a safety perspective and from a comfort perspective. And another one which I saw was interesting, and that is booking a holiday for the farmer in your life. So we know dairy farmers drying off cows at the moment and going to have a well-deserved break for a few weeks. And bank accounts are looking good as well. So why not hit the sun for a few days? I'm actually going to do a piece next week about potential summer sun holidays during the winter, I should say, and where you can go. So that is another one to look at. And the last one is a good book, something that can be left to one side. You're going to have a few days over the Christmas, especially, as I said, dairy farming, you've dried off cows, where you might have a little bit of time for yourself. Obviously, if there's young children in the house, you mightn't get much of a chance to be reading books. But depending on circumstances, it is always a good stocking filler. So a few good gift ideas there. We're talking about TB testing here for a moment on the programme. And I have Hugh Farrell from the ICSA. Hugh, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thanks, MJ. Thanks for having us on.
And you're local this evening, Hugh. You're over in Portlaoise at the ICSA presidential voting. So you're not a million miles from us. But I don't have too long, Hugh, so I'm just going to run through it reasonably quickly. Got an email this week saying that the requirements under the Bovine TB Stakeholders Forum are as follows. Now, it's a little bit confusing, so trying to break it down. So it's animals over 36 months, so basically cows. And if cows are moving, they must be TB tested in the last 6 months. That's the first one. And they must be moving from a herd that has been tested in the last 6 months. So there's 2 6-month kind of caveats there. If they don't fulfil both these requirements, then they must be tested within 30 days of the movement. That's essentially it. So we're talking about animals going from a year down to 6 months for a test if they're over 36 months. Do you agree with this, Hugh?
We don't, but it's a European thing, but we don't agree with the principle of, because you see, as you said there, it's very complicated on the 2 different 6 months or within the period of which is the original figure based on. And if you buy an animal in the mart, or any of us does, well, maybe we think we bought a basis in spec, but then all of a sudden we get a letter or a text stating that this animal has to be tested, and that animal automatically becomes locked in your herd that it can't be moved out of it.
Yeah, so the thing is, Hugh, the really confusing thing for me on this is that you can still trade a cow if you're within your 1 year test, but you're breaking this 6 month rule, but you may not know that you're breaking it, essentially. And there's a grey area, if you will.
There's a massive grey area there, yes. They were expected to be mind readers and to think that we have enough there to mind the boards and the marts and mind our business without trying to mind something we can't read or see. And there's no information on any map board, there's no information on farm-to-farm movement. And we're opposing it actually coming in. It has been pushed back. And the principle we are opposing it is that it's the way it's been funded. And the department for them to fund paper, because we are paying for one air test. But as is, at the minute, they still have reneging now since last August and saying, yes, they're doing it. So they're afraid to take ownership or take responsibility to it. And we have taken responsibility to our end. And so the department has to stand up to their actions and deal with it. And the minister, or this to me and to us in ICSA, is a bullying tactic. Because it's nothing different than the method before the catalysation. And this is saying, well, look at here, you have to do this. This is European. It has been pushed back down the road 6 months. And when we were told that time, we could have brought on an audit. We could have brought on many loss of exports. But that's totally irrelevant in this. The department has to take ownership. And ownership is the main thing. Because this, first off, is clarified to them 6 months that we have a working system that works. And secondly, that they are paying for it. And if neither of them works, it's part of a four-pronged thing that we're debating in the TV forum at the minute. And if one fails out of four, nothing happens. So that's where it stands. It isn't a standalone thing. It's part of a package. And otherwise, we are not accepting it, and no other farmer organisation will accept it. And it's not going to happen.
And when will we... not to be interrupting you, Hugh, but when will we get an answer on this as to whether it's going to be in or it's going to be out?
Well, you see, we went to a meeting last Friday there gone by, and it was cancelled. It's put back now till the 10th of January, so we'll not know then through that meeting what's going on or what's been told to us, unless some statement comes out somewhere else that we won't know after it'll come. But we don't expect to hear anything, because the same civil servants or the same people is holding back other sections in relation to funding. And we farmers can't be held at ransom over this. And that is exactly what's happening. And thus, it's a bullying tactic. It's not protocol. It's not negotiation of stakeholders. And this is where farmers has to stand together and will stand together on it.
Thank you very much, Hugh. We're going to leave it there and we'll let you back to the presidential election in Port Laois.
And thank you. I didn't, that achievement wasn't long ago. And thanks a million.
And that is Hugh Farrell there from the ICSA, and ICSA not happy with that new requirement, and that's what it is at the moment. It's not set in stone, but very confusing. But you're talking for cows, basically six months being the new testing regime when it comes to cows, and the ICSA not happy, and we'll have an update on that in early January again. Now, that is it for this evening's programme. I would like to thank all of my guests who joined me here over the course of the last hour. What a quick show, I have to say, this evening. Hugh Farrell there from the ICSA, with Emma Dillon from Chagast speaking about the economic outlook for 2023. We also had Ray Dunn, former presenter of the programme here, Ray, as I'm sure you're all well aware, speaking about the Tullamore Food Fair Market, which is taking place this Saturday and then the following Friday, where we are encouraging people to shop local and try and support primary producers. And at the start of the hour, we spoke to Joe Coogan, auctioneer from Castlecomer in County Kilkenny, on the price of €570 an acre that was paid for leased land in Abbey Leaks recently. That is it for this evening. As I say to you weekly now, the show goes out on all podcast platforms. So wherever you get your podcast, if you type MJ space Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y, into it, we will pop up and then you can listen at your leisure. We will be back with you this time next week, and the show is repeated on Sunday morning. Joe Cooney is up next with Country Roads. So good night and God bless.